I asked the question, if you to my friend, if you like this 15 or 20 minutes, what happens if you cut that out? And her answer was, they would struggle with it because this is how they operate.
You're the big, big boss. You tell me what to do, and I gladly do my job, but I don't like your attitude.
Welcome back to the Leadership in Tech podcast series. This is Paul Maslany, and I'm proud to present our 11th episode, the second half of an earlier episode that might be one of my favorites so far. Everyone, get ready for a very interesting episode as we cover issues in remote work, as well as offering solutions for things like communicating remotely by using military communicating procedures to simplify and shorten your communications, as well as other unique takes on problems that remote teams all over the world are facing. Leadership in Tech releases a new episode every Tuesday, and show notes, the episode archives, and more can be found online at www.techonramp.com. Or you can also find us on Twitter and Facebook. Both are at TechOnRamp. Thanks again and enjoy.
Now tell me, who do you think you are? Besides a person who happens to be in charge.
All right, so we're talking about remote work again because we had so much fun last week.
Yeah, I did a lot. We talked about it again, and we talked about, we call them terse communications, and that's not really a good accurate description of what we're talking about. They may seem terse to the person listening, but I kind of want to go over in a little more detail what I was referring to. And again, this all goes back to remote communications, remote working environments.
Which is one of the most relevant topics for technology teams today, because lots of companies are experimenting with remote work.
Yeah. And then the challenge of just having everybody not be so sensitive because they can't see, they can't see the person, so they're interpreting what's being said instead of,
And me being one of the sensitive people.
Right. So, right. It's easier if you're me, if you don't really care if somebody was terribly upset.
But if you're me and you're a little sensitive, then those can be challenges to sort of navigate not being able to see everybody.
So this is, if anybody is even interested, right? And I guess the point we're going to make here is, I'm not suggesting that people who work remotely or leaders who have remote teams adopt a military form of communicating with each other. What I tell my clients is, here's how we did things in the SEAL teams. Here's how we did things in the FBI on missions that were important, where communication was key. So this is how it looks. This is what it sounds like. Take this and make it your own.
I'm excited about this.
But adopt something, because you don't have to. And again, this doesn't take out the fun of everything. Well, we're just going to be a bunch of robots. No, everybody can have a time when you get on remotely and yuck it up and all that stuff. That's not what we're saying. But when it's time to work, when there are multiple people communicating, when there's two people communicating and it's based on a work issue, it's something to consider to have a standardized language, or at least the knowledge that when we get into this mode, everybody just put your feelings aside.
Okay, and we did talk about last week sort of separating water cooler time,
yeah, right?
Water cooler usage versus work usage. So what we're talking about today now is when you're ready to work, do it like this.
Yeah. So here's an example, right? So let's say there's a couple people, there's three or four people on the line, and everybody wants to jump in. Oh, hi everybody. Okay, hey, this is Errol again. And generally people will know their voice, but let's just say I have a question. Well, in military, and again, for somebody listening, these are called procedure words, pro words. You could go online and Google, you know, search pro words or procedure words, military procedure words, and they're all right there. It's not some big secret.
It would be cooler if it was a big secret.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. Like, for example, I'm on armystudyguide.com, pro words. So, so let's say there's a lot of people online. Well, in the military, I would say Zach Errol, and I would say what I'm saying. That means, Zach, I'm talking to you. This is Errol, right? So who I'm talking to always comes first, and then who I am, right? So it could be, you know, George, Errol, whatever I have to say. And you would say, you know, Errol, Zach.
Oh, so you dispense with the niceties. It's not like, hi, Errol, this is niceties. Zach again.
Here's who I'm addressing. Here's who I am, right? And it just makes it easier, right? So I, you know, if you... A more lengthy version would be Zach. This is Errol. But, you know, once you get good at it, it's a Zach Errol, and you get on with it. Saves time. It's clear. And, again, it just gets to that very professional atmosphere. Another thing is out, the word out. You see in the, you hear in the movies all the time,
I'm over out. And out.
Yeah. Over and out doesn't make sense.
Is that like right? A mic drop situation?
No, not at all. It means literally out means this is the end of my transmission to you and no answer is required or expected. So out means out. So, you know, Zach, Errol, out. That's it. I'm hanging up. You know, Dobler out. Whatever it is. Over means this is the end of my transmission to you and a response is necessary. You go ahead and transmit. So, you know, Zach, Errol. What's the status of that report? Over.
So over is like you're done talking.
Over means I'm done talking. Now I'm waiting to hear from you. So when somebody, you know, when you hear in the movies over and out, that doesn't make sense because over means I'm expecting a response. Out means no response.
Oh, really? Why do they say that?
Because I don't know.
It does sound cool. Over and out.
Yeah. It's not so like, it's kind of also like lock and load. That doesn't make any sense either. That's, you know, lock and load. It's load and lock. I don't know why lock and load, because you load your magazine, you load your ammunition into your weapon, and then you lock the, you know, you lock it down. So anyway, I digress. So I understand, Roger. So you say something to me. Well, the report is late, and it's late because of these reasons. And I go, Roger. That simply means literally, I have received your last transmission satisfactorily. I understand. Roger. I don't need to go, okay, that's wonderful. You know what I mean? So that, and okay, so what does that do? So if I don't respond nicely to your answer, if I don't say, oh, okay, well, I understand that completely and that's okay. I know you're trying as hard as you can. I understand what you just said. Roger, let's move on.
Oh, so like a tense, stern-toned Roger is the same thing as sort of a light Roger.
It doesn't Roger. Matter. It just means I understand. It doesn't matter whether I like it or not. It means I understand and we can move on.
So if it made you mad, you might say Roger, but it sounds a little different than if it made you happy, but it doesn't matter because it's just.
It doesn't matter. We are acknowledging I understand what happened. Let's move on. So now what's your responsibility in this? Well, we've decided that we are going to speak professionally, right? Emotions out of it when we're working. So now it's on you. Like you might be a little insecure that your report is late and you had a really good reason and you kind of want some validation. Like we all understand that and it's okay. No, we just say, Roger, I understand. Doesn't matter whether I like it, love it. If I have an issue with it, I'll come back. So what's a real another one? You say something and I don't understand. I say again. Oh, okay. You didn't. I understand what you mean. You didn't understand what I said. I'm going to repeat it. You know, or I can say, repeat all after, and whatever word you said. Again, very. But it's so clear. It's so concise, and the meaning is there.
So everybody knows all of these rules.
Right, and you literally go through. You know, the one of the classes that you take when you become an officer. Is this, you spend hours communicating with other people using all these words. So it's just the way you speak remotely. You don't speak that way. Like when people are face to face, you know, it just becomes a habit, and it's actually a good thing. You know, face to face, you're talking to somebody in the military, and I was an officer, and I might give an order and somebody goes, yeah, Roger. That's it. Got it. I'm out. And I'm out, and they walk away and go do it. You don't necessarily, it just becomes a standard form of language, but remotely over the radio is where it becomes the most important. Again, it's a clear, concise communication. Emotion is taken out of it. Everybody understands what's being said. Let's get on with it. Because in the end, what are we doing? If you have a tech team, you are working an operation. You are doing something. You're talking for a reason, unless it's identified
as a goal. You have a team goal.
You have a goal. So let's dispense with the niceties and get on with it. At least that's how it goes. You know, anybody talking too much on the radio, you know, in the SEAL teams, we just talking on the radio was, you don't want to do it, just because you're usually operating in an area where you need to be quiet and too much chatter. And it's just, you tried to limit those communications. Now, obviously sometimes you have to, but okay, well, how do you limit communications? Well, that goes back to something maybe we'll talk about later. Well, we will have a plan. Everybody knows your plan and you know the steps in the plan. You can limit the communication because everybody knows their roles, what they're supposed to be doing, what their responsibilities are. So we don't have to talk that much. And when we do get on.
I wanted to do that episode titled Plans Are for People Who Expect to Fail. You're right. But you've been holding off on that one, I feel.
Well, all right. So here's another one. Speak slower. Literally, that is a pro word. Speak slower.
Like you so tell me you to were, speak slower.
That literally means your transmission is at too fast a speed. Reduce the speed of your transmission. It means slow down. I can't understand you. Slow down everything. But if I just said, right? So imagine remotely we're talking, and you're just excited about what you're saying. You're just speaking too fast. And I go, Zach, Errol, speak slower. You know, you might be like, whoa, hey, say it a little nicer than that, can't you? But no, if we understand each other, if we all understand that while we're operating, we have these pro words, and I say speak slower. I'm not being rude. I'm just telling you to speak slower. Don't read into my tone. Don't read into anything. Listen to the words. Wait. Literally, wait. Wait means I must pause for a few seconds. So I'm not being rude and say, wait, you know, Zach, Errol, wait. You're like, okay, let me know when you're back on. I'm going to be gone for a few minutes. Wait out. That means you stand by. I'll be back, but there's going to be no communication for a minute. Wait out. So, you know, Wilco, you've heard that. You know, so you tell me something. You're my boss remotely. And you say, Errol, you know, have this finished by this date and it's got to look like this, whatever it is. And I go, Roger, I understand your communication. Wilco, I will comply. Roger, Wilco, out.
Oh, so simple you're giving, that. Yeah, so you're confirming that it's going to happen.
I understood what you said. It's going to happen. I'm leaving. You know, here's one. Wrong. That literally means your last transmission was incorrect.
Like the not correct actually version. Correct.
Right. Was incorrect. So you might say, or I might say something. You might go, Errol, Zach, wrong. And then
what does
you
that mean?
It means what you just said was wrong.
And then what so, do we do?
Well, then you would repeat what was correct. You would say, here's the correct version of what
okay.
that issue is. So you know, oh no, you know, I don't really think that's right. You know, I understand what you were saying. You know, all of the
wrong.
Yeah, wrong. And not wrong like you're an idiot, just wrong. That was wrong. Here's what's right. It's not my opinion, and there's a time and place for it. So, you know, again, the planning process, right? So I have clients, and one of the things we find out once we get through leadership stuff is that people don't know how to do a plan. You know, they don't know how to make contingencies. And a lot of times they don't know how to make a plan because they don't know what the situation is. they're not identifying it properly. So I said, look, here's how we do the plan. Here's how we would do a plan in SEAL teams. Now, and so we would follow that procedure for a little while, and it's not always completely applicable. And then we work on, fine, let's make a planning procedure that's good for you all. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, Errol Dobler SEAL Team 1 planning process, but here's how it's done. And now let's make it specific to you. So what are we saying to our listeners right now? Are we saying get on the pro words
and say, and Wilco, talk like
military people and say Wilco? No, you can, you know, but if you're having problems remotely, communicating remotely, if people are getting sensitive, if you feel like you just have to over-explain everything, you know, just all the nonsense, consider, again, it would have to be under guidelines. Here's what happens when we are an operational mode team. So let's all put our emotions to the side. Let's all put our sensitivities to the side, and we're going to talk very clearly and concisely. You know, it could be as simple as that. And then here's how we have all agreed to communicate so we can just get on with it.
The two that I took away from the most, number one is Wilco. I think in, I don't remember which episode it was, but we talked about, it might have been the psychological safe zone where everyone at the meeting has to talk, right? Mm-hmm. And the sort of will comply is sort of that statement that everyone in the meeting should make so that we walk out on the out of the room sort of knowing that we accomplished whatever we talked about, as opposed to that state where we walk out of the room and everyone's, you know, disagreeing and the gossip starts and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. It's, you know, it's I understand what you're saying, but, you know, just imagine, you know, again, imagine remotely. Well, let's go back. We're in a meeting, and office, you know, everybody's face to face, and you give an order, right, Zach? You're talking to all your folks, and you can just see somebody they're squinting, their body language is bad, and
here we
like,
go again.
Yeah, but they're like, okay, you know, at that point you might say, okay, but I clearly see, I'm in touch, all those things we talked about. I see that there's an emotion going on there. Let me address it. That's fine. That's the benefit. You know, again, we talked about it being face to face. But now we're remote. We don't have the pleasure of seeing body language. What I need to hear from you is Wilco.
Right.
We'll comply. Okay. I don't know that you're squirming about it. And it's your responsibility if you think it's wrong to bring something up. But now all I'm hearing is we'll comply. So let's get it done. And if you don't, my next question to you is, well, why didn't you say something? Because you said, Roger, I understand. We'll comply.
Yeah, I like that. That really resonates. The other one is wrong. Like, let's just have the emotional health amongst the team to just be able to tell people wrong.
Yeah. And it's, again, it's not an opinion wrong. I think the best way to do it is this way. Wrong. No, that's not what it means. Cause that's an opinion. It is okay. The next meeting is set for this time, this date. Zach, Errol, wrong. Correct date is, you know, that's it. It's a fact. You're wrong. Okay. It's you know, we're not doing opinions here. You just put out wrong information. So yeah, what are some of the other good ones here? I mean, that's, you get the message.
Yeah, but it's almost like, so these terms have been codified over generations, I imagine, in the military, right? Like hundreds of years. And so, you know, does a tech team adopt these same ones? Do they sit down and take two or three and make their own? You know, that's interesting.
Yeah, and it's, as we talk about the remote communications and the challenges, it is important to establish, I think, what we talked about, some guidelines with language. You know, why can't we have these guidelines for behavior? We have these guidelines for actual work. Why not have guidelines for language to make it clear and concise? There's nothing more beautiful than clear and concise language when it comes to, you know, operating and going after a goal. It just takes all the question marks out of it. It's professional. And again, if everybody is good, if you do have a remote team and you really have none of these issues that we're talking about, which I don't think exists because otherwise we wouldn't be talking about
it. Come on the podcast. We want to interview you.
Right. We want you here. We're going to, which can lead us to our next thing. We're going to start our guest, our guest section here coming in a couple of weeks. So we'll have you on and you tell us how you have no issues communicating remotely. We'd like to hear that. So I don't know. What would happen if you had your team at SALT and you said, we're going to put in these pro words? Would everybody be like, whoa, we're not the military. That's stupid. Or would they say like, oh, that would be good because it would be really clear.
I think they would like pro words. Like everything, something can be exciting in the beginning. And then if they don't intrinsically add value, that they'll fall off. I think if I slapped down the military book and said, we're going to use all the military pro words, then that might be like, well, what are we, the military now? But if we brainstormed as a group and picked three or four and tried to really just focus on keeping our meetings operational and saying like, hey, this meeting is operational. It's not a mix of water cooler, catching up, being friends. But we said, you know, at least this meeting for the week or these certain meetings are operational. And in operational meetings, we want to use these five pieces of language. I don't see how that could be a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, and it's hard. And here's the other thing, getting caught up in, you know, stereotypes, you know, a lot of, well, we're not the military. We don't do it this way. I hear that all the time. And I don't have a problem addressing it. But, you know, again, as a former SEAL operator, my question is always, well, do you not respect the work that the SEALs do? Well, of course we do. Well, this is what we do. This is how we talk to each other. And it works. And the reason it's stayed around for a gazillion years is because it works. So, you know, are you in a position where you see something that works, but you won't consider using it? For what reason would that be? That's ego. You know what I mean? That's all that is. And, you know, again, we've talked about that. What gets in the way of a lot of things? Ego. So, wow, the military, they are able to communicate without getting all mad at each other. We should probably take a look at that. Make it all our own, but it's the concept that we should take a look at. And it would be hard to do, but you know, but even the things, Zach, that you just said, if you made the announcement beforehand, this is an operational meeting. And the guideline for that for everybody is keep everything short, no emotions. You're just simply not allowed to read into what somebody says and then get upset. You know, how is that possible to tell somebody not to get upset? But look, this is how we're doing it. You know, who knows how it works?
No, that's really one of the things I've taken away from the last couple of episodes. And even just, I think you taught me to start scheduling 20-minute meetings, right? I mean, there's just a sense of if you don't have a lot of meetings, and my teams don't have a lot of meetings, that when you do get together, it just gets jumbled. The first 10 minutes is all catch up. We haven't all been on the phone in a while. And then right. You sort of have just pass through these social phases. And so then maybe the end gets operational. But by that time, it's all messed up and off track anyway. And so just the idea of 20-minute meetings, keeping them operational, separating water cooler from, right there, there's tremendous value.
Yeah. And then when you... And it goes back to, like I said in the beginning, you can keep those communications short and concise if your planning process is done properly. And we'll get into that.
We got to work on that. That's a whole other thing. But the other thing, I mean, I've had employees in the past, where I, as a leader, would intend to keep a meeting operational. But then we get on the phone in the first 5 minutes, we're talking about like personal stuff. And then that throws me off track. Right, because it's taking me to a personal place with the employee listening to about their dog who passed away or about their kids or something, and then it's hard to snap back into that operational. So you sort of set the precedent of like we're talking about emotions on this call, and then it's hard to snap back over to operational.
Yeah, and that comes from the leader, okay, and it can look a million different ways. You know, you might decide as you're going to try to make things more efficient. That it's going to be, you know, for lack of a better term, more militaristic. We are going to do it this way. We're not talking about anything personal. That's fine. That's up to you. You know, that's how you're going to run your meeting. It's okay too if you want everybody to talk a little bit and they start getting into some personal conversation. It's simply up to you to say, look, everybody, okay, it's time to get back on track now. Let's go. The leader controls all of it. You know, some teams might do better speaking to each other in these pro words, just consistently over and over. They just really might love it, and that's how they vibe. Other ones may not. You know, it's up to the leader to figure out what that dynamic is going to feel like. So there's no one way to do it. But make a way is my point. Make a way. Because if you don't have a way, once again, what do we say? You're flipping the coin and hoping it just works out. If you sit back, Zach, and you are having a conversation remotely with your team, and they just have to go in to 15 minutes of blather for them to get going, okay, that's fine. You've identified that that's the way they roll. That's what they need to do before we get to business. Then fine, your meetings become longer, but for a good reason.
I was talking about when you and I talk.
I would prefer to say correct, wrong, correction, Roger, out. Yeah, so let me go to another example. When I lived in Annapolis for a while after I graduated, and I had a friend who coached the women's track team. And I would help out once in a while. And the men and the women practiced together, like separately, but obviously on the same track. So they had their separate practices. And what was amazing was the men track team generally got right down to business. They'd come out of the locker room and get to work. Great. The women's track team, they literally had to go through this 10, 15 minute process of catching up, talking to each other first, just kind of getting a social aspect going, and then they got to work. One's not right, one's not wrong. That's just the way they operated. And you know, I asked the question, to my friend, if you like this 15 or 20 minutes, what happens if you cut that out? And her answer was they would struggle with it because this is how they operate. They just for some reason need to have that time together socially. So I let them have it. And then we move on to it. The guys just didn't seem to need to have it. So they skipped it. So what's the point? The point was, it looked a little bit lazy. It looked a little bit not out of control, but undisciplined, but it wasn't. It was very, very calculated. She knew the temperature of her team. Those girls needed to talk to each other for 10 or 15 minutes before they got down to business. Same is true remotely. However you decide to do it is how you decide to do it, but make sure there's a way. Make sure you know what's happening. We have to all yell at each other for an hour. Okay, that sounds a little inefficient, but if that's what it takes to get 10 minutes of good progress, then fine, do it. Because if otherwise it's not working out for you, then what's the point?
Maybe you got lucky. Maybe you worked real hard. And just maybe that doesn't make you smart.
The Leadership in Tech podcast series is a part of a larger project called the Technology On-Ramp, a 10-week educational program that prepares candidates to be able to get jobs in the technology sector. You can find out more about us and how we're revolutionizing leadership in tech and the industry in general by going to techonramp.com. At the bottom of the homepage, you can sign up with your email address to receive episode announcements, as well as leadership tips and professional development resources in our email newsletter. To find out about the players involved in the Tech On-Ramp, check out Errol Dobler at www.leader193.com, Zach Ruiz at www.salt.io, or you can check out both of their profiles, including Mayan, on poddb.me and LinkedIn as well. Not only can you listen to us on iTunes, but you can tune in on SoundCloud, Google Play Music, Player.fm, Pocket Casts, and Stitcher.
Roger. Over and out.
No, negative. Wrong. Wrong. Zach, Errol, wrong. Roger, out.
Roger, out.
Just because I depend on this job for my pay doesn't mean I will let tell me what to do, and I gladly do my job, but I don't like your attitude. I don't like your attitude.